జ్ఞానత్తిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానంజన శలాకయ చక్షుర్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధౌ దీనబంధౌ జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత శ్రీరాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి శ్రీహరిప్రియ. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. హరే కృష్ణ. Operator of the mic. Hare Bol. You already tried. Subject of this seminar is the ideal family life in the Vedic culture. Now we should have the primary education, what is meant by Vedic culture. So this subject matter has been discussed in several headings. First is the perfect society, where four varanas and four ashramas are to be established. Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram abhi viddim akkartaram abhyayam viddim ma. Krishna says, even though I have created four orders and the classes of human society, yet I do not belong to any one of them. Viddhi maam akartaram and avyayam. Akartaram means even though by my energy it is manifested, but yet I am not in them. You cannot classify that I am a grahastha. You cannot classify that I am a sannyasi. You cannot classify atma in any of the four. It means these four orders of the society, by classification, they are material in nature. But because Krishna has devised them, it has a purpose which is more than material. It is transcendental purpose. So, we were supposed to give you a synopsis of the perfect society. So let me just read the summary study of this 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, where Narad Muni is explaining these facts to Yudhishthira Maharaj. First, chapter number 11 describes the four classes and then four varnas in the 12th chapter. This chapter describes the general principle by following which a human being, and especially one who is interested in advancing spiritual life, can become perfect. By hearing about the characteristics of Prahlad Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj became extremely pleased. Now he inquired from Narad Muni about the actual religion of a human being and about the special characteristics of Varnashram Dharma, which marks the highest status of human civilization. When Maharaj Yudhishthira asked Narad Muni about these matters, Narad Muni stopped giving his own statement and quoted the statements of Lord Narayana. For he is the supreme authority for giving religious codes. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Every human being is expected to acquire 30 qualities such as truthfulness, mercy, austerity. The process of following the principle of religion is known as Sanatana Dharma, the eternal religious system. The Varnashram system delineates the division of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. It also sets forth the system of sanskaras. The Garbhadan sanskar, the ceremony for begetting the child, must be observed by the higher section of the people, namely the Dvijas. One who follows the Garbhadan sanskar system is actually twice born. But those who do not, who deviate from the principles of Varnashram Dharma, they are called Dvijabandhus. The principal occupation for Brahmana are worshipping the deity, teaching others how to worship the deity, studying the Vedic literature, teaching the Vedic literature, accepting charity from others and again giving charity to others. A Brahman should make his livelihood from these six occupational duties. The duty of a Kshatriya is to give protection to the citizens and levy taxes upon them, but he is forbidden to tax the Brahmanas. The members of Krishna consciousness movement should therefore be exempt from government taxation. Kshatriyas may tax everyone, but the Brahmanas. Vaishyas should cultivate the land, produce food, grains and protect the cows. Whereas the Shudras, who by quality never become Brahmanas, Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, should serve the three higher classes and be satisfied. Other means of livelihood are also prescribed for Brahmanas. And these are four: Shalina, Yayavar, Shila and Unchan. Each of these occupational duties is successively better. One who is in the lower grade of social life cannot accept the profession of a higher class unless necessary. In times of emergency, all the classes but the Kshatriyas may accept professional duties of others. The means of livelihood known as Rita, Shilanchana, Amrita means Ayachita, Mrita in Yachana, and Pramrita means Karshana. And Satyamrita means Vanijya may be accepted by everyone but the Kshatriyas. A Kshatriya is not supposed to become a mercantile person. For the Brahmanas or Kshatriyas, engaging in the service of the Vaishyas or Sudras is considered the profession of dogs. Narad Muni also describes the symptoms of Brahmana in controlled senses. The symptoms of the Kshatriyas are power and vain, and the symptoms of Vaishya is service to Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, and the symptom of Shudra is service to the three higher classes. The qualification for a woman is to be faithful to and the chaste to her husband. In this way, Narad Muni describes the characteristics of higher and lower grades of people and recommended that one follow the principles of his caste or hereditary occupation. One cannot suddenly give up a profession to which he is accustomed, and therefore it is recommended that one gradually be awakened. The symptoms of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishyas and Shudras are important, and therefore one should be designated only by these symptoms and not by birth. Designation by birth is strictly forbidden by Narad Muni and all great personalities. This is an interesting classification, because we see in the modern time this classification has become completely topsy-turvy. Krishna's intention to classify according to the mode in which they predominantly exist, and the modes of material nature dictate the functionality of a person. The principle is that is these modes that constitute the material body, these modes are so powerful that unknowingly a person is captivated to work under the influence of the modes. But because of false ego, he thinks he is the doer. Prakritiye kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankaram vimudhatma kartaram iti manyate. The bodies are like puppets in the hands of Maya. They are not in the control of the soul. Soul wants to, because he has innate desire to fulfill through his medium of body. So he forgets his real body. He is engrossed by the gross material body. And therefore, he is under a hallucination which is covering through his mind, intelligence and ego. That is the subtle body. Because his frustration, he always keeps contemplating through his subtle body of mind, intelligence and ego. And that is greater attachment than to the gross material body. So therefore, even though the gross material body dies, the subtle body does not die. But regardless, this bewilderment, either in gross or subtle form, comes through the modes of material nature. Because these modes are binding material energy to constitute a body. So naturally, the modes are going to be more predominant in discerning that what kind of activities will be performed. Because we are compelled. So it is easy that the reactions of this particular mode can be easily classified. So in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes even the faith in three modes of material nature. Even so many things, including the food in three modes, which constitute the body. The foods are affected by the modes. The food can transport the mode of the cook, and it is embedded in one who consumes it.
Therefore, we must, you know, understand that material nature, which is working under the three modes of sattva-gun, rajogun, and tamogun, overpowers, overwhelms the spirit soul, which is Satchidananda. So nobody should underestimate the power of material modes. They are the shadow of the supreme transcendence. And a little transcendence has virtually been overpowered by these external modes. That is Krishna's arrangement. Therefore, he said, I have classified these four classes of people, living entities, as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Brahmans are supposed to be in mode of goodness. Kshatriya, Arthakam, mode of passion predominantly. Vaishyas, passion and ignorance. And Shudras, totally ignorance. So the idea is that this classification are according to those three modes, the people who acquire, and that is the natural way of, because they are going to dictate, these modes are going to dictate what kind of activity. What are the activities of mode of goodness? The Brahman is engaged in the work which was in the mode of goodness. Shamah, dapah, tapah, shocham, kshanti, rajavam, evacha, ahinsam, astikyam, brahma, karma, svabhavajam. So, this is the effect of the mode of goodness. Prabhupada said that by spreading Krishna consciousness, I want to create a Brahminical society. One must become a Brahman by karma, because Brahmins are supposed to be most intelligent people. Regardless whatever the occupation they have been doing now, but cultivate the culture of Brahmin. Brahminical culture is very, very ideal for the human society, because they know the purpose. The purpose of the human form of life can be only served while maintaining the mode of goodness. It is so predominant in Brahmans, otherwise the Brahmans are not Brahmans. They are either Brahma Bandhus, relatives of Brahmanas, means insult to them. Right? So, Krishna is setting the three modes of material nature to dictate the functionality. So, according to the desires of the living entity, they come in association of the modes and modes take over. Our desires, by looking around, by the concept of our so-called material senses, we make the habit to associate, cultivate a habit, means cultivate a kind of culture of predominant mode. But we forget that habits take over us and habits make us. Who forms the habit? The living entity. Why? Because he has desire. And the habits are so strong because they are the carriers of those moons. The habits take over. So habits make the living entity. Living entity has an aptitude to associate with certain habitual things, but virtually habits take over the living entity. So we are known by what kind of habit do we have? Habit of more of goodness, passion or ignorance. These habits are so much predominant that they dictate our lives. a person in a predominant mode of ignorance, what kind of lifestyle he will have? This guna of ignorance will keep him always under lethargy, laziness, indolence, intoxicated state. It will not be, clean. It is a slob. That is the mode of ignorance. But mode of ignorance, along with the patient, he makes it so hyperactive that the result is always stinky, painful. So, the mixed modes of mercantile attitude is either passion and ignorance mixed up. Their habits are, greedy. How can I make more money? And he would not be much discriminating about the cleanliness and other aspects. Simply he will, extract money. Money. Money is the honey. Right? He will be mad at that. The Kshatriyas, they want to live at the expense of others. And they want to rule, they want to control, they want to have it all. They will quarrel. They will play diplomacy. They will do anything in their power to fulfill their passionate desires. And mode of goodness. They think that if I cultivate mode of goodness, I'll become happy. So the sense of happiness overpowers him and tells him to conduct himself good. To dictate him that I should be a good person anyway. I should have a good, respectable position in the society. So, my so-called peaceful and happy situation prevails. But it is also binding. Rajagun binds us in attachment. To the hankerings and lamentations. Lamentation would be more predominant for the ignorance people. And they will start, despising, become envious, because they don't have it. And they want an easy way. Anyway, this fourth society, the social orders, this Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, can be also explained in other way. Then, one who is more intelligent for the purpose of life can be served by cultivating the mode of goodness, and he is intellectually situated. So he discriminates between a good work and bad work. He would not want to indulge in such work that will be rather contrary to his desire. Patana, padhana, jajana, jajana, daga, pratigraha. This Brahmanical order is called intelligent. They are after the knowledge of the absolute truth, because they know something superior is more important to pave the way, to keep peace and harmony in the society. They become the examples. So they try to learn something themselves and teach others. So patana patana. In the same way, they can perform ritualistic ceremonies, there are purificatory processes for themselves as well as they can conduct for others too. Then dana pratigraha. So therefore, the society respects this first order in such a way that they want to remunerate them for their service and take care of their livelihood. So dana means they receive in charity. But they are satisfied with limited amount because they know the entanglement will be terrible. Otherwise they will turn into mercantile community. They will end up investing in stocks and bonds. So just to keep their status quo, you know, even by the scriptural rules and regulations that they will be forbidden to enter into such trade, better give away. Then they have high morals, the nitis and everything established. Oh, if you give more, you get more. So under the pretense of getting more, they give more. Means the hankerings, the desires will be there. But in this way, by giving, they will be much more controlled. So this is intelligent, you know, that they end up serving the society, so in turn the society takes care of them. So that is brahmanic. It is the most intelligent. Now, the idealistic society means we need to have all four of them. First, the ideal society. Now, all of them have direct connection with the Supreme Lord because He created. For the Lord, because He is not confined into four orders, right? He is Himself equal to all. If He is Brahman, then Krishna might think, I will have to favor only Brahman because that is my caste. But Krishna says, I am beyond the caste. Sometimes we connect. Oh, Krishna was born as a Kshatriya, but then he turned his profession into a cowherd boy, a Vaishya. Well, it is circumstantial, but he is still aloof. He enjoyed having both. So the idea is that Krishna says that these four orders, they have their inherent qualities. So therefore they will be inclined to work under the illusory energy, using my own energy, and another energy will be overpowering it. Let's see who becomes intelligent gradually. If they know that I am the center of this kind of social division, then I will take the results of their activity because this is my energy. It's Krishna's energy. Krishna wants to claim from every order. Therefore he says that those who are even dependent upon the society, that who are simply serving the society, the fourth order, this is called vyapasritya. And anybody who simply becomes dependent, they also can come to me directly by offering the results of their service to me. Mam hi partha vyapasritya. Yesu papa yonayaha, striyo vaishyastha tha shudra yeyatim paramgatim. Anybody can become Krishna conscious. So four orders and four divisions are because the living entities want to imitate the Lord. But because of the overpowering modes, they are being casted or classified into four orders by the Lord. The modes are overpowering. Even they do not know. They are overpowering. So in the ideal society, even though Varnashram is there, One is a spiritual order, another is a social order. The spiritual order we'll talk later on. But whatever the inclination for working the sense gratification, they are advised to simply do it for the satisfaction of the Lord, who is the cause of the four social orders. Sansiddhi means the perfection of in totality. The total perfection of the human form of life can be achieved by performing their prescribed duties in whichever varna and ashram they are situated in for the satisfaction of Lord Krishna. A sugar can satisfy the Lord by performing his so-called prescription or prescribed duty. So the idea is that these orders, even though material in nature, it has a spiritual purpose. Therefore, Varnasham Dharma is propounded and it must be practiced. Varnasham Dharma must be practiced. Varnasham may be in our language or Vedic literature is there. Those who are outside of Vedic periphery, like Yavanas and Malachas, the Western society, the Eastern Khasadhya, other societies, they also have at least intellectual class, administrative class, the mercantile class and liberal class. So classification is there, but they may not have the purpose behind it because they have not been educated in the purpose itself. At the maximum, they know that they are supposed to work for their sense gratification. But the preaching aspect can make a difference. And naturally, we see that a lot of this khasadhya, means the Chinese devotees, Burmese devotees, there are so many. It is because the purpose is revealed to them by a very systematic preaching. So anyway, these are the four social orders to set up an ideal society first. Because other ashramas will be resting on the social orders. The purpose of ashramas or the disciplines, that is spiritual. It is for spiritual purpose that can be manifested by following that particular discipline. So we cannot underestimate the brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha and sannyasa ashramas, which are meant for spiritual discipline while remaining within the material discipline. But we have to go through the discipline. We cannot live or afford to live undisciplined life. And perfection achieves not by Big Bang theory, by accident. It is a well-planned intellectual design. Then we have to pursue that, to fulfill that purpose. So, sansiddhi haritoshanam. There are a few verses I would like to go over, which are considered to be important.
Lord Narayan, along with his partial manifestation Naram, appeared in this world through the daughter of Daksha Maharaj, known as Mudri. He was begotten by Dharmaraj for the benefit of all living entities. Even now, he is still engaged in executing great austerities near the place known as Badrikashram. This is the appearance of Narayan Rishi when on the onset of this creation, he was begotten as the son of Dharmaraj and Murti. Murti was the daughter of Daksha Prajapati. Right? The Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, the root of all religious principles, and the memory of great authorities. O King Yudhishthir, this principle of religion is to be understood as evidence. On the basis of religious principles, everything is satisfied, including one's mind, soul, and one's body. So Prabhupada says, as stated by Yamaraj, Dharmam to Shakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, Yamaraj, the representative of the Lord who takes care of living entity after their death, gives his verdict as to how and when living being will change his body. He is the authority, and he says that the religious principle consists of the codes of Lord, given by the Lord. No one can manufacture religion, and therefore manufactured religion system are rejected by the followers of Vedic principles. In Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, 15th verse, it is said that Vedishya Sarvai Aham Eva Vedya. Vedic knowledge means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And therefore, whether one speaks of the Vedas, scriptures, religion, or the principle of everyone's occupational duty, all of them must aim at understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, 6th verse, therefore concludes, Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahaitukiya pratyataya masu prasidati. In other words, religious principles aim at learning how to render transcendental loving service of the Lord. That service must be unmotivated and unchecked by material conditions. Then human society will be happy in all respects. The Smriti, the scriptures following the principles of Vedic knowledge, are considered the evidence of the Vedic principles. There are 20 different types of scriptures for following religious principles. Among them, the scriptures of Manu and Yajnavalkya are considered to be all-pervading authorities. In Yajnavalkya Smriti, it is said that Sruti Smriti Sadacharah Swasya Cha Priyam Atmanah Samyak Sankalpa Jaya Kamo Dharma Mulam Idam Smutam. One should learn the human behavior from Sruti, the Vedas, and from the Smriti, scriptures following the Vedic principles. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that Smriti Sruti Puranadi Pancharatmaki Vidhimina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpatyat Kalpate. The purpose is that to become a devotee, one must follow the principles laid down in the Sruti and Smriti. One must follow the codes of Puranas and Pancharatmaki Vidhi. One cannot be pure without following the Sruti and Smriti. And the Sruti and Smriti without devotional service cannot lead one to perfection of life. Therefore, from all evidence in the conclusion is that without bhakti devotional service, there is no question of religious principles. God is the center figure in the performance of religious principles. Among everything going on this world, as religion is devoid of any idea of devotional service, is therefore condemned by the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without devotional service, the so-called religious principles are only cheating. So, for the perfection of human society, the highest criteria that can be taken is the devotional service. Without devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is cheating. There will be imperfections in the society. So, devotees in Krishna consciousness, they should understand and confirm this by intellectual study, verification by personal experience,
This is their prerogative. One must be well acquainted thoroughly with the conviction about the devotional service. Because we have started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, our devotional path has begun. And therefore, Prabhupada anticipated from his followers to create Devi Varnashram system for the purpose of perfection in this human society. Devi Varnashram means there's a divine purpose in material classification according to the four orders, social orders and spiritual orders too. So, this is an important verse as an introduction. So, Yamaraj is the authority on the matter of religion. And he propounded that. He said, dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. But dharmam means they must be represented by the qualities. Dharma means salient features. Dharma means one that sustains us. What are the inherent qualities? So he says, these are the general principles. There's a big list. These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings, regardless of caste, creed, sex or nationality. They are truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fast on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity, reading of the scriptures, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to the saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities in the human society, remaining silent and grave and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Lord, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one whole self. O King Yudhishthir, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in human form of life. Simply by acquiring this qualification, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, these are not only the Hindu principles followed by. No, it is without any restriction. Even Christians have to follow these principles of religion. Muslims do. Everyone has to. Even atheists like Buddhists, they have to follow. Without them, the humanity will not emerge even. So, these principles are divine in nature. They expose the real nature of the soul. So, as long as the soul and body is going to stay together, the body has to be controlled, sustained, and become helpful to others. So, therefore, there must be proper classification for the purpose of gaining the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which he will be satisfied. These qualities are essential. And without the boundary of any denomination, color, caste, creed, or sex, you know, every human being must follow this and cultivate these qualities. Everyone should become a devotee of the Lord. Because by becoming devotee of the Lord, one automatically acquires the other qualities. Other qualities follow, they manifest in a devotee. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, 12th verse, it is said, Yasyasi bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarva gunai tattva samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manorathena asati dhavato vahi. In one who has unflinching devotional service to Krishna, all good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualification because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is external feature of the Lord. Our Krishna conscious movement, therefore, is all-embracing. Human civilization should take it very seriously and practice its principle for the peace of the world. This is the desire of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, he said, I have not finished my 50% of the task. And that is establishing the Vipra Ashram. And he entrusted to his disciples to finish it. Our American God brothers and sisters, they are trying very hard. It is difficult because of the cultural breakdown. But more anticipation is from those who are coming, a familiar background of Vedic culture. And that is us, the Hindus. So, this perfection of society, starting from the inception of the birth all the way up to the death, must go for purificatory processes, which is called sanskaras. And they have been adhered by those who are following Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. So, I would like to go for the spiritual classes, the classification in the spiritual life. Let's see. This chapter particularly describes the brahmachari and the person in vanaprastha stage. And it also gives a general description of the four ashramas, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. In the previous chapter, the great saint Narad Muni has described the varna institution of the society. Now, in this chapter, he will describe the stages of spiritual advancement in the four ashramas, which are known as brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. The brahmachari should live under the care of the true spiritual master, giving him sincere respect and obeisances, acting as his menial servant and always carrying out his order. The brahmachari should engage himself in the spiritual activities of study of the Vedic literature under the direction of the spiritual master. According to the brahmachari system, he should dress with a belt, deer skin and matted hair, and should bear a danda, water pot and sacred thread. He should collect alms daily in the morning and in the evening whatever alms he has collected, and he should offer to the spiritual master. A brahmachari should accept prasad upon the order of the spiritual master, and if the spiritual master sometimes forget to order his disciple to eat, his disciple should not take prasad on his own initiative, rather he should fast. The brahmachari should be trained to be satisfied with eating what is absolutely necessary. He should be very expert in executing responsibility. He should be faithful and he should control his senses and try to avoid the association of women as far as possible. A brahmachari should be very strict abstaining from living with women and should not meet with the grihasthas, those who are too addicted to women. Nor should a brahmachari speak in lonely places with a woman. After completing one's education, a brahmachari in this way, one should give dakshina and offering gratitude and to one's guru. And then one can leave for the home and accept the next ashram, grihastha ashram, or else one may continue to be in brahmacharya ashram without adulteration. The duties of a grihastha ashram and brahmacharya ashram as well as the duties of sannyasis are prescribed in the shastras, a grahastha is not meant to enjoy sex life without restriction. Indeed, the whole purpose of the Vedic life is to become free from the sexual indulgence. All the ashramas are recognized for spiritual progress, and therefore, although the grahastha ashram gives a kind of license for sex life for a certain time, it does not allow unrestricted sex life. Therefore, a grahastha life also, there is no illicit sex. A grahastha should not accept a woman for sexual enjoyment. Wasting semen is also illicit sex. After the grahastha ashram is another ashram known as vanaprastha ashram, which is midway between grahastha and sannyasi. A person in the vanaprastha order is restricted in eating food grains and forbidden to eat fruits that have no ripen on the trees. Nor should he cook food with the fire, although he is allowed to eat charu, the grain that have been offered in the sacrifice of fire. He may also eat fruits and grains that have grown naturally, living in a thatched cottage, and vanaprastha should endure all kinds of heat and cold. He should not cut his nails or hairs, and he should give up cleaning his body and teeth even. He should wear a tree bark, accept a danda and practice the life in forest, taking a vow to live there for 12 years, 8 years, 4 years, 2 years, or at least 1 year. At last, when because of old age he can no longer perform the activities of vanaprastha, he should gradually stop everything and in this way give up his body. So, the anticipation and training a child of 5 age in the care of spiritual master, and it is said that danto vasan brahmachari guru kule vasan danto guru urhitam acharan asanya vincho gurau sudran saurdha. Narad Muni say, a student should practice completely controlling his senses. He should be submissive and should have an attitude of firm friendship for the spiritual master. With a great vow, the brahmachari should live at the Gurukula only for the benefit of Guru. And if the Guru does not feed him, he should fast. And then they will put up child abuse case. In this age and time, how would you execute this? No. The application is that one has to become submissive, subservient to the Guru right from the very beginning is a good discipline training. By becoming submissive, he will be able to control his senses. It's not that he should be allowed all free, information that they supply in the junior school now, how to engage in sense gratification. Right? That is not the purpose of training. The purpose of training should be to become well acquainted with the superior authority. How to become submissive to it? And what will you gain at the end of such submissiveness? This is the aim. That is the spiritual foundation. Spiritual foundation is given by the Guru right from the very beginning of the childhood. If spiritual foundation is not there, then whatever the kind of education he is going to get, it would be detrimental towards perfection of the human form of life. It's better to become a doctor or an engineer than a devotee? That is the question. Well, there is also a disciplined education in academics. Without that, no proper qualification for service. Some people call it it's a service in the name of humanity. The doctors take Hippocratic oaths. But in these days and time, you know, people can sue the doctor for malpractice, and the doctors have to pay heavy, heavy fines too. Is it not? Besides that, you know, they are all also becoming the point of envy of others. How much taxes they have to pay because they earn more. The government will be after them. They want them to do some social services. No doctor wants to go to the remote places. Because they said there is no business there. People are so healthy, they don't go to the doctor. Only they need some service in crowded place, stinky, murky places. The society is at chaos. Anyway, discipline is a discipline, and for short-term benefit, discipline is needed, or long-term benefit. For the purpose of going to Guru can be only served if your inquisitiveness is for Shreya. Tasmat Guru Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttapam. Not for temporary material benefit one should go to Guru, but for the purpose of eternal benefit one should accept a Guru. So, you may become doctor, there is no, but now you must have a Guru, for Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam is still remaining. And this is the ultimate selfishness. If you are selfish, then you do not know what selfish. We will teach you how to become selfish. like that. The ultimate selfishness is Vishnu. Nate vidhu svartha gati ni Vishnu. Durashayaya bahirartha madina. Andhayatha andhayupaniya manatish pishatantra kurudani badhya. The undisciplined society, because they do not know the ultimate swarthagati, ultimate destination of selfishness is Vishnu. Therefore, they are hankering in hopeless situations, which is outside of Vishnu. And that is their mental concoction. There is nothing existing outside Vishnu. Right? But they think, so durasha bahirarthamanina. And in this way, the selfishness blinds them because they can't satisfy their selfishness. So, a blinded can not lead to anybody. Why? But the whole society, out of this extended selfishness, devoid of Lord Vishnu, they want to lead others. So not only they will fall in the ditch, but anybody who follows is also falling in the ditch. Right? And because they are undisciplined, anything about themselves is not disciplined, not controlled, not regulated. Therefore, the resolute determination to put the attention of Lord Vishnu or Krishna never arises. Matim na Krishne svata parotoma mitho vipadhyat grapadratana adanta govihi vishatanta mishran punah punascharvitam charvanana. It is said that because their senses are uncontrolled, they have not learned anything in discipline. The academic education doesn't demand self-discipline. They demand only classroom discipline. Or at the maximum, they will think Now they will separate out some good boys. They will ask for, you know, some prestigious situation about their student and give him reward, because that will be the only. But they can't anticipate such behavior with each and every student, because that discipline is not there. Otherwise, a guru doesn't distinguish between one disciple and another. He is equally disposed to everyone. So what kind of academic education is that? He selects out only a few and the rest will be a piece of garbage. So, because of their unbridled senses, they cannot repose their ultimate attention on Lord Krishna or Vishnu. Nothing na Krishna. By their own endeavor, by the help of each other, or by making a so-called union and take a vote to eradicate and establish only Krishna. No, not by that judgment or the voting. You can bring that attention to Krishna. This is called Grahavrata. Grahavrata means undisciplined life. Those who think I, me and mine is the only thing that I have to look, that is my real selfishness. This is called Grahavrata. Because the body is myself. Body is also Graha. So anything is about Graha is selfishness, extended selfishness. So Graha Pratama, bodily conception of life. Adanta Gobihi Vishatanta. And Graha Prata is naturally coming by unbridled senses, undisciplined senses, uncontrolled senses. So they end up chewing the chew which has no juice. There is no juice, there is no substance, and there is no discipline. So this is what Narada Muni is telling. So a student should practice completely controlling his senses, should be submissive, and should have attitude of firm friendship for his spiritual master. With a great vow, the brahmachari should live at Gurukul and only for the benefit of Guru. There are so many things that sustain this kind of attitude of a brahmachari. His other activities, what he is doing, it's also been described very, very carefully and in details. Narada Muni then jumps up on the description of the Vanaprasthas. A person in Vanaprastha life should not eat grains grown by the tilling of the fields. He should also not eat grains that have grown without tilling the field but are not fully ripe. Nor should a Vanaprastha eat grains cooked in fire. Indeed, he should eat only fruits and ripens. Why is forbidden to eat grains? To grow the grains, he has to work. But he is stopping the work, so he should not eat grains. But the grains are encaging us into bodily conception of life. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyatanna sambhava. Who wants to go through that cycle of karma? He is going to retire. Right? And this is the karmic activity. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyatanna sambhava. Yajnat bhavati parjanya. Yajna karma samudbhava. Karma brahmat bhavam vidhi, brahmaksharam samudbhavam. Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma Nitya Yagya Pratishthitam. Yagya means karma, but for the pleasure of the Lord, that is described. So better he performs direct yagya rather than go through the channel of food grains and karmic activity. So what we see here, that Vanaprastha should learn how to become free from the bodily conception of life. He should learn. Therefore he should refrain from grains and beans, and he should eat only fruits of natural tubers. This was the food for those who are going to the vanam. Panchashat vanam gachet. After 50 years of age, one should retire. But now even the retirement age has become more than 67. The government is making us a hard ass. They don't want to free us. And we think, oh, after all, I have a very active life even after retirement. People look for jobs. Retired person. And he's glorified. Baba, why? If you want to perform job, just make an honorary seva. But retire from the active, fruitive activities. The purpose of freeing oneself from the karmic activity is the real purpose. And Krishna gives that opportunity. In the old age, what do we face? Angam garitam palitam mundam dasana vihipam jatamatundam. Shankaracharya spoke about this. When the body is melting down, it's becoming completely unenthusiastic, lose like myself. Palitam mundam. I cannot hardly, raise my head even. Dashanavihim, I lost all my teeth here, yet. I would like to put up denture and eat crunchy apple. In America, they put advertisement of denture and make a big crunch while biting. See? I can enjoy. But the point is that even though by nature's arrangement we are meant to retire, but our hankerings, our unsatiated desire make a donkey out of us. So one who is not intelligent, he is simply wasting his life. So when because of disease in old age, one is unable to perform his prescribed duties for advancement in spiritual consciousness or study of Vedas, he should practice fasting and not taking any food. So a Vanaprastha should properly place the fire element in his own self and in this way give up his bodily affinity, by which one takes the body to be oneself or one's own. One should gradually merge the material body into five elements: earth, water, fire, air and ether. Now see, there are great personalities who were able to do this. But this is in the retirement of the Lord. How to give up every attachment of material element that constitute our body, mind, intelligence and ego. All these prakriti ashtadha, they have to be merged by our consciousness. A sober, self-realized person who has full knowledge should merge the various parts of his body in their original sources. The holes in the body are caused by the sky, the process of breathing is caused by the air, the heat of the body is caused by fire and semen, blood and mucus are caused by water. The hard substances like skin, muscles and bones are caused by earth, and in this way all constituents of the body are caused by various elements, and they should be merged again into these elements. If you fail to merge yourself, then your relatives are going to force you to merge by setting fire to the body. That's a beautiful description. I don't know how much we are going to be able to, you know, perform, but certainly as a Krishna conscious person, is everything is possible. Thereafter, the object of speech, along with the sense of speech, the tongue, should be bestowed upon fire. Craftsmanship and the two hands should be given to the demigods Indra. The power of movement and legs should be given to Lord Vishnu. Sensual pleasure along with the genitals should be bestowed upon Prajapatis. The rectum with the power of evacuation should be bestowed in its proper place to Mrityu. The oral instrument along with the sound vibration should be given to the deities presiding over the directions. The instrument of touch along with the sense objects of touch should be given to Vayu. Form with the power of sight should be bestowed upon the sun. The tongue along with the demigods Varuna should be bestowed upon water. And the power of smell along with the two Ashwini Kumaras demigods should be bestowed upon the earth. The mind along with all the material desires should be merged into the moon god, Soma. All the subject matters of the intelligence along with the intelligence itself should be placed in Lord Brahma. False ego, which is under the influence of the material modes of nature and which includes one to think I am this body and everything connected with this body is mine, should be merged along with the material activities in Rudra, Lord Shiva, the predominant deity of the false ego. Material consciousness along with the goal of the thought should be merged into the individual living being, and the demigods acting under the modes of material nature should be merged along with the perverted living being into the supreme being. The earth should be merged in water, water in its brightness to the sun, this brightness into the air, and air into the sky, and sky into the false ego, and false ego into the total material energy, and total material energy into unmanifested ingredients of pradhan, feature of material energy, and at last the ingredients feature of this material manifestation into the super soul. Why all this? Because that is the way material creation manifested. You know exactly the stepwise transformation from the subtlest energy of the glass of Mahavishnu to the Pradhan Prakriti manifesting into false ego of Mahatattva, and then in every instance the glance of Mahavishnu is working as a catalyst to transform. The glance does not take part into transformation, but it works as a catalyst. It was very interesting that somebody was trying to compare the activity of the enzymes as catalyst. The material enzymes are also catalytic in nature. Because of their presence, we get every activity of metabolism. Breaking down, cleaning up, building up. And this is how our bodily processes are going on. But a spiritual consciousness of the soul knows the formation of this Virata Rupa through this particular. And the demigods, even the unmanifested at that time, took charge of the functionality of those particular organs of Virata Purusha being formed. It says, when the mouth of the Virata Purusha was formed, Agni Deva entered in it. But there was no manifestation of Agni. But the spirit soul entered into and took the charge of that particular function of the Virata Rupa. So, even in our body, all the demigods and their respective energies are present to control. Remember, the gopis were chastising Brahma to create the eyelids which are obstacles in vision of Lord Krishna. See, what kind of creator are you? You do not know how to create even. What kind of eyelids did you give to us that are blinking and obstructing vision of our dear Lord? Brahma, you are a hopeless person. So anyway, this situation of understanding about the spirit and matter, and as well as how the matter has come up and manifested in different complexities for functionalities, and the demigods are taking charge of them, is beautifully described. And it's the same process in this particular canto, seventh canto. That was described in the third canto. This is in seventh canto. But because of the same author, the impeccable, fidelity to the process, we can find. There's no controversy. This is very beautiful to understand through the our spiritual medium. So, it's almost 12:30. I will leave some time for question and answers, and then we'll meet again. So this is just the overview of the two chapters that I'm teaching today. This is the first part. In the second part, then we will go over for something more detailed about sannyas life in the afternoon. And then we will go towards the ideal family life of the householder. Right now, brahmachari and vanaprasthas are being discussed. Then sannyasi will be discussed. And then grahastha life will be discussed. So, we will get a thorough, purposeful understanding of this Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Right. So, these explanations are very wonderful. We must study, because it is having the divine purpose behind it. And whatever framework of our mind is, whether we are in caste or outcaste or whatever it is, we have no caste, in fact. But still, to establish the Vaivarnashram system, to fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada, we must know. So we can then try for idealism, the ideal family. Alright, thank you very much. Anybody has any question or comments?
Maharaj, it was recommended not to eat grain. But the question will be, if you don't eat grain, you feel very hungry.
No, they are supposed to eat the fruits and even tubers. So, they won't feel hungry. Monkeys do not find in the jungle grains. They eat fruits. They can survive. But the thing is that by abstaining from the grains, which is the cause of the bodily conception of life. Not bhavanti bhutani. That is period. Nobody can say the bodily conception becomes greatly, fixed by anna. We are refraining from eating grains and beans on a kadashi because the papa purusha, the bodily conception, he is troubling the rest of the time. So Krishna devised a special day for him. So by following his prescribed method, we will be able to understand how to abstain from grains and beans forever. Karman Prastha is there. Sorry. But that is a very, very healthy state. Our attachment to grains and beans is also not nice. Look at me, because I overindulge in grains and I have to stop grains forcefully. Krishna will take away.
Srila Prabhupada initiated many girlstars into basically Sannyasashrama, and they didn't go to the training of Vanaprasthashrama. So how could they fulfill the requirements of Sannyasashrama without having undergone the training through the Vanaprasthashrama?
And it's the spiritual master's mercy that they were able to do what they could accomplish during that. That was his mercy. And it was required for that particular time. And the quality of service or quantity of service that was rendered regardless was helping Srila Prabhupada to establish Krishna consciousness movement and firm footing. Then we can go and bring a standard. That's what his call is engaging to, uplifting the standard. And a systematic recommendation. Prabhupada said that you do not have qualification, but I am making you Brahmanas. That is his mercy. Mercy overpowers all the rules and regulations, transcends the so-called material mechanism. They are there in detail that he should travel, go to places of pilgrimage, associate with the devotees, listen and cultivate the culture of Krishna consciousness very intensely. Otherwise we are like Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was blind, spiritually blind, even though he had a training. Still he was, avoiding. So even after 100 sons perished, he was still living in the house of Yudhisthira, and Vidur came and chastised him. You forgot your duty, you are already finished, yet you are living like a bad dog in the house of your enemies. Get out! You are a Vanaprastha. He chastised him so heavily that Dhritarashtra did not have any power to respond to him. He left with Gandhari the same night without letting Yudhisthira know, because he was so much repentant. And he was so much obliged to Yudhisthira Maharaj because he was taking good care of him, and he would not let him know that his sons have ever perished. He was taking so much Krishna conscious care. But Vidur opened his eyes and told him to perform his rightful duties as Vanaprastha. So he went to Himalayas and both of them prepared a thatched hut and started austere lifestyle, changed everything. And it said that this fire of severe austerity, you know, consumed their body. And they went in their own abode. It's not easy, even for those who have descended from a higher platform in the material world. They have to be walked heavily. But the instructions remain forever. In any circumstances, how do we apply? That is the only question. And an expert spiritual master who is an acharya is always thoughtful how to apply. This is what we expect from our guru to show us. Yes.
So if a grandstha is performing his prescribed duties according to the instructions of the spiritual master, does he need to take the renunciation?
In Vanaprastha, yes. In grandstha, yes. Both stages. Renunciation, not dry renunciation, but very active in utility aspect of devotional service. All stages are showing us how to become detached, because Krishna will be in the center, and our functionality may differ, but they are meant to dovetail in service of Krishna. Nothing should be done outside the service of Krishna. That is an art of living. Any other? Yes, ma'am.
How is it possible for us to actually decide what our inherent characteristics in terms of the three modes? We are an individual and we born with a particular characteristic influenced by either one of the three modes. Now, how are we supposed to know which one?
You want which mode you are classified into? Yes, the activity itself is classified. But besides that, will you be satisfied with classification only, or for the purpose of classification to serve Lord Krishna for his satisfaction will be more important. So even if you know that probably you are in grahastha ashram with brahmanic attitude, you are a grahastha but you are in brahmanic attitude, and you are a preacher, you start preaching, probably your activity will be like that. Some are expert accountant, money making. So even the ladies know mathematics very nicely. So our activities are dictating that suppose if you are an accountant working outside, but you are still a very faithful household wife, So, according to the Varna of the mercantile aspect and the aspect of housewife being the order, social and spiritual order, you engage for the satisfaction of Krishna. So, that is the perfection. You are an accountant. Okay. So take the account of your activities every day. By my this service of the entire day, is Krishna satisfied? Did I offer? How much? Yeah, but whatever it is. Well, how much did I offer to Krishna? By my service, how much Krishna is pleased? So you will be satisfied. Because Krishna is satisfied, you will be satisfied. You cannot become satisfied if Krishna is not satisfied. See? So this is in tune we become truthful in our accounting, we will truthful our chaste, the ultimate chastity belongs to Krishna. Shudra is an ashram. Yes. He has family life.
Would he go to a brahmachari ashram?
Of course. But he better remain as a servant. He may not necessarily go to a guru. Right? Let him be engaged. Because Shudra means in the mode of ignorance. Alright? He serves the Guru indirectly. Just like Ekalavya was doing indirectly. It's not that he was determined or anything. But that is the position. He should not engage in direction. Because he is in mode of ignorance which is predominant, he will be unclean. He wouldn't understand. He would not. So better he should be dependent upon the social structure. But if he is understanding, getting educated, then naturally he is coming out from the Shudra mentality. So according to inclination and activity, the mode and activity, one is casted. There are four classes, but there is also a fifth class according to Srila Prabhupada. They are lesser than human beings. In the body of human beings, they are lesser. So, this kind of classification will go on and on. It's called Shudretar. In India, that's called Scheduled Caste. What is Scheduled Caste? This is misnomer.
By Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, will the
manifest in such a person also who has not acquired the knowledge?
If he is working under the direction of one of our spiritual master, it will.
What if he is just a beginner devotee who hasn't yet taken shelter of
her? So he should chant Hare Krishna and develop Vaishnava qualities. Vaishnava qualities are 26. Out of 30, 26 are already living available. It's a matter of his inclination to cultivate Allah. One who has Shudra mentality of ignorance, he will take good clinic. Therefore it is suggested that a Brahman should wait for 1 year for initiation. A Kshatriya should wait for 2 years. A Vaishya for 3 years and a Shudra for 4 years. In other places, in Hari Bhakti Vilasan, it has been extended, you know, for initiation. It's a general, not rule, but understanding. There are always exceptions to the rules. In Kali Yuga, you know, almost everybody is a Shudra. So we should compulsorily wait for 4 years. Some do. Because he wants a quality disciple, then eventually he will do. But regardless, if everybody wants for 4 years, then there will be a big slowdown in manufacturing the disciples. And probably it will pinprick somewhere. But regardless, we should understand that development of the qualities, they do come by the power of the Holy Name. Haridas Thakur was the example. Where did he have previous knowledge? Nothing. But he had complete faith on the Holy Name. And he developed perfect qualities.
Maharaj, what about someone who has been chanting for some time, and usually we see that because of our past habits, before we came into Krishna consciousness, maybe our habit of getting angry or, you know, certain habits based on different modes, they still don't go away very easily, like, you know, getting control over anger or developing more tolerance or getting more control over sleep when you start coming into Krishna consciousness. They don't come so easily, so how do we try to?
We send to the war zone and let them show their anger. Means, we have to induce him. Oh, you want to become angry? We have a place for you where to become angry and to whom to become angry. Yeah? Use your anger against them, and it will be a service to Lord Krishna. Right? Become acquainted with philosophy and start bombarding those who are atheists, those who are virtually defaming Krishna. Because your anger will be very helpful to serve Krishna. But he should be well acquainted with the philosophy. So he can notate his anger. Oh, you are very fearful. You want to engage your fear in Krishna's service. Look at Mother Yashoda. She was very fearful about the safety of her child. So you can develop those sentiments of fear in service of Krishna. So, otherwise fear is ignorance, right? How can an ignorance ever serve Krishna? The Brahman will say, no way. But that is material ignorance of a Brahman. How about spiritual? The spirituality removes all the material ignorances. Deva Krishna Tattva Vetta Sei Guru. Kiva Vipra Vasudra. Jai Krishna Tattva Vetta Sei Guru.
If you are living in a house, to lead a vanprastha life.
Wow. First of all, we have to have different bedrooms. Second, austerity and others, that have to be, you know, gradually increased. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam and other transcendental literatures. Sadhana, go to place of pilgrimage, curtail materiality activities, slow down at least, then start preaching. Engage in deity worship at home. So many activities will be there. Call and give association and bring association. What you can be engaged 24 hours a day. These are the activities. Go to India, make pilgrimage every year. Don't send Mahatma Ji home.
Leads to body concept of life. So, if you're living in a house, how can you just live on the
street? Decrease gradually, and you will give up. Take lesser amount, you know, because it will be more healthy. You are doctors, you know. So much rich, fleshy food like pasta and pizza, like pizza. They are out of balance. For growing kids, this may be alright, but we are not growing kids anymore. The one that is most sattvic, we should develop that. This is more beneficial. We have to be now becoming more selfish in Krishna consciousness. We helped a lot to everybody. Now let's help ourselves. This is the opportunity Krishna gave us. The golden years. Not the grey years, but golden years. We should celebrate our Vanaprastha every day, gloriously. Taking over time, no problem. Yeah. Any other discussion? Jagat Guru Swarupa.